Any of you have a motto for life? Personal motto? Words to live by that encourage you to do all the good you can or something like that? John Wesley had this motto for life, and it's bridged so many generations. John said, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can." That was John's motto that's been passed down through the Wesley tradition, the United Methodist Church, and I really adhere to that motto as best I can. I'm constantly trying to do the good that I can in the world in these different ways that I can do it so that God's glory is seen through my actions. But sometimes I struggle. Sometimes other mottos in life trump this motto of Wesley's. And any of you a Cheers fan? The show from the 80s? I loved Cheers. And Norm Peterson had so many great sayings. And one of his mottos was, "Everybody believes in something. I think I'll have another beer." Not exactly a motto that we ought to be living by, but so many times we in realities of life fall into that type of motto that things get placed out of order. I mean, how wonderful it would be if we could all take John Wesley's motto and put it on ourselves and always put God first and always put others ahead of ourselves. But sometimes we get that mixed up and we get that backwards. We're all Christians that are here, right? So we're all here for the very same reason, and that reason should be to serve God. But sometimes we get so busy with other stuff in life that we get that backwards. Sometimes we get so busy in prayers for ourselves that somehow in our minds we start to think that God is there to serve us and always take care of our needs, always meet us where we're at. And we begin, as we see answered prayers around us and we begin to see our prayers being answered, we begin to almost feel like God is serving us because God is so good. But that's not what it's meant to be. Sometimes we start praying for our desires, and that becomes the desire of our life, instead of our desire being to live for God. Sometimes the issues, the problems, the storms, the troubles of our life, they become such a thing that it is the thing that's defining us, where we're at, what we're going through. And all we put out there is our struggles and our problems and woe is me things. And we fail to recognize that we're to put God first and not these things that are holding us down. So sometimes we find that prayers that started out and once we're putting God as the center and God's will at the center get replaced with our needs, our wants, our desires, our pains, our problems. If you're like me, when you quietly reflect, you start to realize that your prayers now are always take care of this problem. Be there for me. Give me strength. Rather than asking, "Lord, how can I be there for you? How can I unite others with your love? How can I show that you love them and there's nothing they can do about it through the love that I carry?" So what does it mean to be obedient to God and allow God to be the architect of our lives? You know, God is all-knowing and we're not. God knows the direction that he wants us to go on, but sometimes we stumble and we fall. Sometimes we see this other trail that looks fun. That looks like something that I want to go down. That looks easy. And we wander off. We get lost sometimes. I struggle with these theological differences that I see in the world sometimes. Before I became a United Methodist pastor, I was told that I had to make sure that I wasn't being called into pastoring a different denomination. And one of the things that I really struggle with that other denomination, and I don't want to name that denomination, but it's their theology of, it's kind of a one and done theology. That one and done where you say, okay, God, I want you in my life. I believe. And their belief is that you say that once, you're good to go. You don't have to do anything else in your life because God's there now and nothing else matters. And one of the things that I think Wesley gets right is that we are sinners and that we backslide and that we, even when we're trying to do our best and be our best, we make mistakes and we fall away from God at times. And we need to constantly ask forgiveness. We need to constantly give our lives back to Christ because we keep pulling our lives back. I mean, even since I've been a pastor, I've recognized that at times I'm pulling my life back away from God, and I know that that's not good. And so I'm constantly, constantly saying, God, forgive me. I've stumbled. I've walked away. Pull me back. Get me back on that path that you want me to be on. God knows where he wants me to be. He's the architect of my life, but sometimes I want to be the builder of other things. We're weak, and God is all-powerful. When we ask God into our lives, God is always with us, and yet sometimes we forget. Sometimes we think that we're alone in this thing, and the wonders of this book, this word that he gives us, the thing that I love is the honesty about the disciples. Because if the disciples can keep falling and stumbling away from Jesus, it makes me feel a little bit better about myself. I mean, Jesus chose them to walk side by side with him and hand by hand with them. They got it wrong. So when I get it wrong, I'm like, okay, I'm like one of the disciples. I get it, God. I want to reread what Carl just read in Luke chapter 8. One day, Jesus and his disciples boarded a boat. Jesus said to them, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. So they set sail. While they were sailing, Jesus fell asleep. Gale force winds swept down on the lake, and the boat was filled up with water, and they were in danger. So they went and woke Jesus up, shouting, Master, Master, we're going down. But he got up, gave the orders to the wind and the violent waves. The storm died down and it was calm. He said to the disciples, where is your faith? Filled with awe and wonder, they said to each other, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water and they obey. If you're a note taker, here's your chance. Where was Jesus when the disciples were in the storm? He was with them in the storm. When we're going through storms of our life, sometimes it feels like we're in this thing alone and not connected with God, not connected with one another. Where is Jesus in the midst of your storm? He is in the storm with you. When you've asked him into your life, he never leaves, though sometimes we don't see him there. And look at the disciples. They were flipping out. They were scared to death. Fear was controlling them. Look what Jesus was doing. He was asleep, not worried about it. He was the architect of it all. He knew what was going to happen. He asked, why the lack of faith? Why would you think that I'm going to go down in this? Why would you think that I'm not going to get you through it? Why would you not know that I love you and there's nothing you can do about it? Why the fear of the disciples when Jesus was right there? But then again, why do we feel fear and feel alone and feel deserted and feel like other things are control rather than allow our faith to carry us through? Look again at verse 25, what the disciples realize about themselves. He said, "Where is your faith?" And that triggered that, oh yeah, he's here. He can do anything. Oh yeah, look at what he's doing now. Their faith was filled with the love of Christ. And then we turn a few pages later in our Bible in Luke 9 verses 1 through 6, Jesus called the 12 together and he gave them power and authority over all demons to heal sickness. This is a reminder to us that God gives us everything that we need to live for him in serving others. God would never call us to do something that he's not going to equip us to do. In verse 2, he sent them out to proclaim God's kingdom and heal the sick. So they were sent out to live for God. It wasn't just that they came to believe and follow Jesus. They were sent out to do these things in Christ's name and in God's love. So they gave these things in the name of God. In verse 3, he told them, take nothing for the journey, not a walking stick, no bag, no bread, no money, not even an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, remain there until you leave that place. Wherever they don't welcome you, as you leave that city, shake the dust off your feet as a witness against them. They departed and went through the villages, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Went through the villages, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. They said yes to following him. They took the steps to do what Jesus was asking them to do. They were living for Christ. They were being the body alive for Christ. They were transforming the world, and they recognized that when God calls them, just like you in your notes, when God calls me, what do I need? Nothing. When God calls you, you don't need anything, because verse 1 said that God will give you everything that you need. Expect that from God so that you can have a heart of God. God will take care of the rest. So when God is using me, what will he give me? Everything that I need. The gifts that you have are from God and should be used for God's love in the world. If you don't think that you have gifts from God, what do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 really good pianists or organists sitting here in this church. I know those six attribute their gifts to God, and they use them for God. Some of them have been playing the piano and organ for longer than they can remember. Others later in life decided, okay, I can try this. They're using their gift for God. They're willing to be called out, and they take that step knowing that God's going to give them everything that they need. And more. I don't want to call this person out. You're here today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for bringing your mom. It wasn't that long ago that we were without a pianist. And I knew a certain person played the piano. I didn't know how long it had been since she played, so I didn't dare ask her to step up and play the piano. We had an attempt at box music, remember that day, and nothing worked technologically. And this wonderful person taps me on the shoulder, Michael, you know that I know how to play the piano, right? Yes, I know. Would you like me to? And I think that's what I groveled. Yes, please. And it was a gift from God that, you know, she's willing to take a step. She hadn't been coming to our church for that long. But she was willing to take that step and step forward in faith, no rehearsal, because she knew that God gave her the gifts to get through that morning. Why is it that sometimes we feel like we need to get everything ourselves and have everything ourselves before we'll walk out there in faith and realize that God's going to give us all that we need? When we're with God in life, God will send us out for God's goodwill, God's perfect purpose, God sharing our gifts with others, those in need, those that are lost, those that have stumbled, those that have walked away, those that once said, I'm a Christian and I believe, but when the storm in life hit them so hard, all they could see was the darkness. And they weren't able to pull themselves through because they felt alone. They didn't recognize that God was there carrying them in their time of need. And we're going to skip a few verses, but look at Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Once when Jesus was praying by himself, I love that Jesus is constantly going in prayer. That's a reminder that we need to constantly go in prayer. The disciples joined him, and Jesus asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others that one of the ancient prophets has come back to life." Jesus asked them, "What about you? Who do you say that I am?" So what's the significance of Jesus asking these questions? Peter answered, "The Christ sent from God." If we don't really know who Jesus is, we're never going to really give our life to him. When we know and we trust in the Lord, we know that God will be there with us in our storms, that we're never going to be left alone because Jesus is the Christ sent from God, our Messiah. We know that God will provide all of our needs. Sometimes we just need to ask God to align our wills with his. So by whose authority we live is important when we're accomplishing God's tasks. It's important that when I do mission trips and build things, that others see God's glory in my actions, not my own. It's important that when people see that I'm a pastor and doing these things, it's I'm doing it for God's glory, not my own. It's important that what I reflect isn't my own strength because I am weak. It's God's strength because God is always strong. It's important that if we're going to profess to be Christians, we profess our faith by stating things like this. Do you remember when you professed your faith, the pastor asked you these questions? Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent your sin? Did you answer, I do? And they went on to ask, do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And again, you said, I do. Do you confess Jesus as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And you said, I do. Will you nurture children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and lead a Christian life? And you said that you'll do that? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Did you say I do to that? Will you sponsor candidates, other believers, supporting them, encouraging them in their Christian life? Do you, as Christ's body, affirm both the rejection of sin and the commitment to Christ? Do you take it very seriously that you are a part of Christ's body when you say that you believe? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include people in your faith walk? Do you remember repeating parts of the Apostles' Creed? When you were asked the question, "Do you believe in God the Father?" And you said something like, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth." Do you believe in Jesus Christ? "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead." Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Did you say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting"? What about you? Who do you say that I am? Jesus is asking you that today. In verse 23, Jesus said to everyone, "All who want to come must say no to themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." That means daily. There's going to be a storm. There's going to be a trouble. There's going to be something that's not from God that we have to deal with. All who want to save their lives will lose them. But all who lose their lives because of me will save them. What advantage do people have if they gain the whole world for themselves, yet perish or lose their lives? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Jesus is asking you, who do you think that I am? What words of that answer are being chiseled into your life? What are those words that are being chiseled into you say about you and about who you serve? So that last question on the back of your bulletin: are you ready to follow Jesus? And do not give me the answer that you professed your faith when you were 18 years old and that's all it took, because I do not believe that theology. We need to constantly profess our faith and renew our commitment to Christ, because every day a storm is trying to come in and hold us back. It is not a one and done answer. Will you pray with me? Almighty, holy God, whose authority expands both heaven and earth, we bow before you. You speak, and the waves are calmed. With just the touch of your hand or a word from your lips, miracle upon miracle has been given. Teach us to obey you. Guide us in your ways. As we profess you to be the Lord over all, come and be the Lord of our lives. As we truly yield ourselves to you, take authority over our lives and use us for your love and for your kingdom. Send us out as you did your disciples, with all the power and authority to perform everything that you would have us do. As we seek to become your holy and obedient people, hear our prayers. It is in your most holy and all-powerful name we pray. Amen.